I don't classify this as sex trafficking. This is a business deal. She demands a $3 million payday. This person also is not named in the indictment, but it's got to be Brock Lesnar. It's one of these things where we have to be careful about believing something automatically, you know, when it comes out. There's always two sides to every story. Well, we're going to talk about a guy today that doesn't get a lot of sleep either. Even in his late 80s, that man's still got a drive, if you will. We're going to be talking about Vincent Kennedy McMahon, former, I guess you would say, owner, is still a billionaire, I guess, of the WWE, WWF. I guess, first off, before we dive into this, Matt, were you a wrestling fan?
No,
not at all.
No, I knew who Hulk Hogan was, and I knew who some of the guys. So when I was in college, I worked very briefly over during the summer. I worked at a Gold's Gym, and Hulk Hogan was good friends with the owner of the gym, and he was one of the Killer Bees,
Brian Blair. Yeah.
So Brian Blair was one of the Killer Bees, and I worked for him during the summer. Real nice guy.
Yeah.
He used to go. It's funny too. We would have Japanese tourists come in and want to know if he was there, and we'd be like, "Yeah, well, you go get him." And they take pictures with him, and they, you know, because you know he they're huge.
Yeah.
In Japan.
Oh yeah, yeah, they love him in Japan.
So.
Brian wore a mask in his tag team for a period of time anyway.
No, I don't know. You know, he was like he ended up being like a county commissioner or something.
Yeah. Some of them go on to have a career in politics and all sorts of other things. The Killer Bees they were a tag team. They were around mid 80s, which was kind of like the heyday when Vince got Hulk. I'll just kind of give a little precursor for people that maybe don't know too much about wrestling. Vince bought the territory from his dad. He basically bought all the little individual territories around it, like, you know, Mid-South, this, that, where you used to have the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. Everybody wrestled in territories. You would tour territories so you could basically do the same show. You had the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. They would do a territory for a few weeks. Then they would go to the next one and they do the same show over again. This was obviously before it was syndicated. So you got a lot of mileage out of that. Once television became involved, you can only do the same story so many times before it gets kind of boring. He basically kind of groomed Hulk. I don't want to say groomed. That'll get into what we're talking about later. He helped create Hulkamania, which took wrestling by storm. Pretty much was laid the groundwork for making Vince a billionaire. Obviously, in probably the late 90s and 2000s, Ted Turner opened up a rival wrestling company, WCW, stole some of Vince's talent. Vince had to go from the more cartoony, eat your vitamins, say your prayers type guys to then you got into the Stone Cold, DX, The Rock, trash talking, girls lifting up their shirts type stuff, real edgy. And that's how he beat him. And he eventually bought WCW. Interesting fact, he bought WCW for less money than apparently he paid this woman to do favors with. That's quite a fact. That's a little background of who Vince is. He was the owner. He largely did stay as just an announcer, but then he started getting a more mainstream role. Once Stone Cold got involved, they had like a huge feud, and he just relished that role of being that heel boss. Now, what we're going to talk about today is some recent allegations that come out. Was a lady named Janelle Grant, who was a former employee. And this is like what really just sets this thing off for me, is how they met and under the circumstances. So Janelle lived in a penthouse in Stamford, Connecticut. She was giving her parents round the clock medical care. I'm not sure what the illness was.
That's nice. That's admirable.
Commendable. Admirable. So right there, if I'm thinking, if you're giving them round the clock medical care and you're not working, then you've probably got a little money in the bank.
Or they do.
So they do pass away. She's now looking for employment. And the owner of this building knows Vince McMahon because at this point, I believe him and his wife had split up. He was staying in a condo in this building. Vince was.
So this is a nice building.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Vince is staying there. I can imagine it's not a two-star dive here. We're talking about it. It's up there. And she makes the introduction, or the building owner or manager or whatever makes the introduction to Vince, and Vince sets up a meeting with her. Now, this is not a meeting in an office. It's a meeting in his condo since they're in the same building. Allegedly, on the very first meeting, there is a little leg touching, knee touching, how are you? Tell me about your background type thing, you know, just trying to feel out the situation, if you will. When they close this first meeting, he allegedly sniffs her hair as she's leaving and goes, "Nice." And he's got this very, very distinct growling type voice. So hearing these things is very funny. Just imagine him saying it. So this is the very first meeting. So I want to dive into this just a little bit. This is not a young lady that has been with the WWE or any company for that matter, that's been with them for a long period of time, that she gets approached by a boss to do something in this manner. So you have to balance, what will this do to my career? What will happen? Will it cause a disconnect? Will people believe him? Will people believe me? Like, you don't really have to balance a whole lot because she's not even a member of this organization, an employee. So if this happens on the very first time you meet this man, you can't possibly, in good sense, think it's going to get any better. So right off the bat, if you come back for a second meeting, I really got to question where your head's at.
Yeah, it's odd, right?
Yeah.
Like, you think, yeah, this is a little weird.
Yeah.
I'm not. This guy is a little off. Really, if you watch him on any of these shows, you know, or what do you call them? What are they? Wrestling shows, tournament.
Entertainment.
Right. So if you watch any of those, you're going to know he's a character. Like, he's, you know, but then if he's acting weird in person, you might be like, yeah, you know, I don't think I want to pursue this. This is a little odd.
Yeah.
But maybe she needed the money. Maybe she was like, hey, I need a job.
Okay. So that is a point. So I don't know what the income is for that area. Allegedly, they meet again in his condo. This time, the man is in his underwear. So,
that's not normal.
I'm a little concerned. I've had a number of interviews in my day. Nobody has ever greeted me in their underwear. Some of them, thank Christ, they didn't. Wouldn't have been a pleasant sight. So this is number two here. He's already touched your leg, smelled your hair. Now you're showing up in his underwear, and he asked for a kiss before you leave. I can't. And these were like, you know, 2-hour meetings here. So she still agrees to become an entry level employee. She's going to be making about $75,000 a year. I don't
know if that's an entry level employee.
That is an entry level employee in WWE. Excuse me. Entry level. And like I said, that first meeting turned into a 2-hour meeting. So that's a long time. And I'm not sure the date of when the first meet was and when she first got the job, but there was a few meetings in there. There's a whole indictment. I'm not going to read every page of that indictment, but there's like a 67 page indictment that kind of breaks this down. Once she's there, I think it's 2 months into the fact, that's when he really starts pressing for sexual favors for this job. I think May of 2019, this is after she's accepted the job. She visited Vince and he forced her to pleasure him while he just laid back on the bed. And she felt she had to do that to be able to leave.
I don't even know what to say. I usually have a smart ass comment.
And with the hand, not even the, you know, the hand.
She had okay.
Hand. Yeah. Handy, we would call it. Strange request, but I can hear him say, God damn it, do it.
He's an odd guy.
He is. I can see him really wanting this odd stuff. So a lot of this makes sense. When we do this, I want to be clear. I don't necessarily think she's lying about the stuff that she did. I do, however, question her being made to do this against her will.
Yeah, I'm afraid I will never get out of here. Like, what's he going to do? I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah, but at this time, he is in his late 70s.
Yeah.
He is a big guy. You're right about that. He's a jack guy. But again, like I said, it's not like she's got to look at, God, I've been with this company 10 years. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? She's not even, you know, really been an employee that long.
Yeah, she's waiting on her fourth paycheck at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know if her 2 weeks is kicked in. She ain't got benefits. I mean, nothing's going on. So after that, it progressed that she was routinely assured that the photographs, he wanted photographs of her, like nudes, that they would never go anywhere. It was going to be between him and that's it. He just wanted to enjoy them. Then it started to be text messages exchanged of situations that he wanted to see her in.
Is she still at 75,000 entry level?
Yeah. Yeah. This is all in the door.
Not saying, hey, this is outside of my job description. You know, I'm going to need a little bit more.
Yeah. She's not saying this. They kind of do like a little role playing thing via text message. Vince, and some of the text messages are out. I definitely can't read those verbatim, or otherwise this video is monetarily a waste of time. But, and that's another thing that's odd. I don't know if you've seen those. If you look at these text messages, Vince, like we said, is a billionaire. He carries himself a certain way. I can imagine him in a business meeting or anything, even in a personal setting, carrying himself a certain way. He's Vince McMahon. These text messages read like a teenager just learning how to cuss.
Right.
They're like, your is a capital U and R. Your is YR. I mean, it's very abbreviated. It's not how you would expect a billionaire to talk in his late 70s at that. It's very odd. And he's giving out these things about he is in control of who she does business with. You want to put it like that? I'm trying to keep this as PG as possible. He's basically her or her owner. Now they haven't actually got down to business between the two of them yet. This is all exchanged through text message, but it's not going to get any better. I can promise you that. this is a funny one. He introduces her to sex toys that he has.
How old is this chick?
I haven't really got a clear number on her age, but she can't be old. She's got to be anywhere from mid 20s to early 30s. She's got to be in there. She can't be any older, and I hope she's not any younger. He's got these sex toys, and he separated them by race, and he's named them
as you should.
WWE. Yeah. I mean, that's PC. Wouldn't. You got to be PC. And he's named them after the talent. So one of them very well could be named the Hulkster. If one of them is not named the Big Show, I'm going to be very upset at his creativity in this, you know, this business venture that he's got going. Sexual Chocolate, I'm assuming, has got to be one of them. Mark Henry, he was a big guy. I really hope the names of these toys come out. Like that will just be the icing on the cake. And apparently, in some instances, she is forced to let him use these implements to the point to where some of them get stuck.
This doesn't seem good at all.
Well, it doesn't seem pleasurable, at least not for her.
No.
That's where I can kind of like, even if you are cool with it, maybe that was maybe a tad bit over the line. Yeah. He apparently apologized for this action, saying that sometimes he gets carried away, which I can see. I can see Vince getting a little out of hand. Damn it, take this thing out. You can get it all. Oh, might be a little too far.
I'm going to need a pair of pliers.
Get in here. Get this out. Get it out, damn it. She then is introduced, and this person is not named in the indictment, Vince's physical trainer, whom is going to share. Now, I think by this time they are having full-blown
intercourse.
Yes. The trainer is now introduced. Now it's a three-way partnership here, if you will. The trainer, for whatever reason, like I said, is not named in this indictment. I'm not really sure why. There's an instance where, and this is the one that's really kind of making headway, is they're together. I don't know if this is in Vince's apartment or where it is, but they're all three together. They're doing the deed. And at some point, somehow, I'm not exactly sure the positioning. Don't really know if I want to know how they were positioned, but Vince defecates on this young lady. It doesn't specify if it was an accident. The man is close to 80. Maybe it happens. You know, maybe it's a shart, I think is the word for it, the terminology.
It is, is his personal trainer a male?
Yes, it is a male. That we do know. It is a male.
Okay.
Vince, however, demands the show goes on. And they finish. Now, he actually went and showered up, come back, and this young lady is still there with Vince's, I guess, accident there. And everybody finished. Everybody done their thing. So it doesn't say that, like I said, that if he wanted to do that, if that was a fetish or if it was just a full-blown accident. If it was an accident, I don't know why you wouldn't let the lady, you know, hop in the shower. Let's pick this up later when everybody gets clean. I'm not sure. What is Matt Cox's number to get number two on? What is that number?
It's a big number.
A hell of a lot more than 75.
It's a big number. It's a big number. But I mean, she's what? For what? She's looking for what? A couple million? Two, 3 million? What she is.
Now, back then she wasn't. This was early on. I would say within the first year. So she's doing this for 75 grand and she's having to go to work at least some days. My number is more than 75 grand if you're going to go number two on me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there.
And it's probably going to double if it becomes public. Because if there's enough zeros and it's private, we might could work something out. But if it's public knowledge you did that shit, then that's, you know, the smell might go away, but the stain won't, if you get what I'm saying. That's going to be hanging around. So it's definitely going to double if it's public knowledge. And that's the thing, is this chick had to detail all this.
Right.
So you know any dude that is ever like, you got to have all this in the back of your mind if you ever want to talk. You know, you're on that first date, you're eating some nice Italian food, you get that roll of spaghetti, and you look across the table and you're like, Vince
did that shit on you.
Vince shit on this woman's head. Like, I don't, you know what? Check. I'm out of here.
So
and it gets more ridiculous. Apparently, and this person also is not named in the indictment, but it's quite obvious as to who. Vince shares some of her text messages with a former wrestler that is now with the UFC.
Do we know? You know who this is?
It's got to be Brock Lesnar. There's nobody else that fits this bill other than Brock. The only guy that really left at that point in time that they would have been really wooing to come back with something of this magnitude would have to be Brock. CM Punk left. It was on bad terms. I don't think they just recently got him back, and this was, you know, that was 7-8 years ago. They were actively pursuing to get Brock back. The only person that makes sense for it to be is Brock Lesnar. Apparently he wanted a video of this. I don't know what is with the defecations and the feces here. He wanted a video of her peeing sent to him. And apparently that was something that was arranged. Apparently they were supposed to hook up at a pay-per-view event. Brock Lesnar allegedly, and I'm saying Brock, that's the only person it could be. If he's watching this, please don't kill me. Apparently they were supposed to hook up after a pay-per-view. Allegedly he got too drunk to do it and it never happened. There is an exchange that's leaked between Brock and this person where it says, Vinny, if I got in there and done the damage to that hole, you would never be able to fill it again. So apparently Mr. Brock's quite proud of himself.
Proud of himself, I was going to say. Yeah. Wow.
Do you know who Brock Lesnar is?
No.
You don't know who Brock Lesnar is?
No, I don't know.
Well, he was in the UFC. Brock is like a fucking animal. Like he's, Google him.
I am. What's his last name?
Lesnar, L-E-S-N-E-R-N-A-R. I mean, he's just like a massive dude.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a tough customer.
Yeah. There's the truth about Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar. Yeah, there's already a video about it.
Yeah, it's him. And the sticky thing about that is Brock is married to a lady that used to be in the wrestling business named Sable. She was formerly Rena Marrow. And it's funny. I'll tell this real quick story for the wrestling fans who understand it. Mark Marrow, which is Brock's now wife's former husband before her and Brock got together. He was a wrestler. He cut a deal with Vince McMahon to come to his WWE and let his wife, Rena Marrow, who took on the name Sable for the company, basically be like his valet that would accompany him to the ring. She wound up gaining popularity, really kind of was the main star of WWE when they were really going that edgy stuff with the sexuality. She would have bra and panties matches. She would come out with just handprints over her boobs and nothing else. I mean, it was really edgy at the time. I, of course, enjoyed it as an adolescent myself. But there was an issue where she filed suit against Vince. I don't know exactly what it was. And Mark said they were just hated in the company. They didn't have any friends, so they left. After about a year being out of the business, Sable decided she wanted to go back. And he was like, well, I'm not going back. I'll stay with the kids. If you want to go back, do a few dates, make some money, I understand. As time went on, calls home became less and less frequent. He started to suspect she was seeing someone. And so he said, I call her one day and I just had it. And I'm, you know, letting her have it on the voicemail. I can't believe you did this. I'm sitting home with our kid. You're doing God knows what with God knows who. Then he said, I hang up the phone and I'm like, I probably shouldn't have done that, man. Let me call and delete this before she hears it. He knows her voicemail passcode. So as he calls and he logs in, it says you have two messages. The first one isn't his. He's got to listen to that to get to his. He hears this guy talking about meeting up with her. He doesn't know who it is. And he's like, man, when I find this guy, I'm going to beat him to death. I'm going to just tear this guy apart. He finds out that somebody is Brock Lesnar. And he said, brother, if you know, forgiveness becomes so easy when you find out that's the guy that's tearing down your old lady while you're on the road. And then they got a divorce. And to this day, at least right now, Brock and Sable are together. I got to think that this may be causing a little rift at home. But allegedly, they did not ever get together. But you got to think if this happened, supposed to happen one time, probably something else here, there, down the line, hadn't come out yet. That's the tie-in with Brock Lesnar. There's another individual named John Laurinaitis. Now, John Laurinaitis was a guy that was kind of, I want to say his official role was like VP. He was like number two. He resigned about a year and a half ago after all these allegations first come out. Not these specifically, but allegations that Vince McMahon had paid hush money three or four times in the last few years. That's when he stepped down. John Laurinaitis resigned right after that. I think he had a feeling some of this stuff might start, you know, coming to light. This was set up now, and here's where the sex trafficking comes in at. And it's what you, I think Brett mentioned on your show. When you facilitate someone to have sex with someone else against their will, then that becomes sex trafficking.
Right.
And that is apparently what she was doing now, or what Vince was doing. I do want to say that in this time from them two getting together to the physical trainer, to the wrestling dildo toys, to now with John Laurinaitis, she is now making 200 grand a year.
As she should, by the way.
Well, she's earning it, by God. And It's plain to see if you're a wrestling fan why creative was suffering. If you've got some of the top guys in the business got this going on, all these shenanigans, it's no wonder the product wasn't as good. But yeah, she's up from 75. She's got $125,000 raise in less than a year and a half. She's got a position with the company. I've got it in my notes here. I'm trying to find it. She absolutely knows nothing about it. There's no way this young lady knows anything about this position. She's there because this is her job. This is what she's doing. She's meeting Laurinaitis in the mornings before he goes to work, which, you know, if that's agreeable upon the two, that's fine. But the problem with that is John Laurinaitis is actually married to a lady that is the Bella Twins, which is a female tag team. I think John Cena, at least at one time, was dating one of them. Daniel Bryan was dating the other one. But the big reason here is their mom is currently got cancer. Oh, she knows the Bellas?
Okay. Yeah.
The Bella Twins are pretty popular.
Yeah. Yeah, she just grew up on
I need to have her on here. Where's she
at? I know. She knows all that, you know, which she, by the way, thought was ridiculous. But her brothers and mom and they all watched, you know.
I grew up on it. I mean, I'm not too much in it anymore, but I remember the guys from my day. So she's got John Laurinaitis meeting him in the mornings to have these rendezvous. John's doing this while his wife's currently battling cancer, which is not a great look. And then apparently there's in WWE headquarters, they meet in John Laurinaitis' office and they have a three-way business deal, if you will, to where Vince says, "No means yes, and take it, bitch." Like he's yelling this out loud. I'm not sure if everybody in this office just has earbuds on. How do you not hear that? How do you not hear Vince McMahon having sex? If you ever heard that guy talk on a microphone, I don't know how he would be quiet enough in the middle of all this to where people in the office wouldn't hear it.
Right.
I'm
thinking it's not your normal work environment in general.
I think if it's headquarters, it is, because that's all like the business people, the pencil pushers. That's not really what I would say. I don't think the wrestlers are coming in there. The brains behind the outfit. That's not a locker room or nothing. This is just like the business people of it. You know, the money people, coordinating trucks, stuff like that. That's my guess anyway. Either way, I don't know how this is not heard.
It's right.
There's no way. This has not hurt us. And people also now, you've got to be suspecting that something is up with this young lady who's come in seemingly out of nowhere, no connection to the wrestling business, nothing to do with anybody there, not kin to anyone. And within 2 years, she's making $200,000 a year with a high ranking position that people probably been for years haven't even got. It's not adding up. Miss Grant, apparently in some of these meetings, pled and begged for them not to do it, but then decided it was best to do it and just get it over with. So that's her mantra here for all this, is to get it over with. John Laurinaitis throughout the work environment after she moved in here would frequently hem her up in different rooms, force her to kiss her, grope her. And this is all around the 2021 time frame here. So eventually she does put a stop to it. Or, you know, say that they need to not do this anymore. One of the main reasons is Laurinaitis's phone, I think, got lost. And a lot of the pictures were in his phone of her. And so that's really the only thing that you get in the form of regret in these text messages that are showing up, is she's like, "I never should have sent him those pictures."
Right.
Not, "I never should have went and banged him every morning while his wife was dying of cancer." Not, you know, that. You know, three-way business call really hurt.
When you said that he lost his phone, I thought you meant
it didn't say where. It could be.
What? My God.
Where is that phone? I hear it ring.
It wasn't a Pro Max, I hope.
I hope I'm not sitting on nothing. Where is it? I mean, with everything else going on up in there, it's quite possible. Apparently, there was a text where she asked if they could postpone the threesome for that week. because she felt it would get her head out of the game and she really wanted to focus on work. Not, hey, this is wrong, it's a bad idea. My head's not going to be in the game. I need to be focused, was the reason. We're going to go a little bit deeper here.
I feel like you don't necessarily believe this woman.
No, I don't. I take that back. I don't think the woman is lying about everything that happened. I do think she's lying about it being done to her against her will. Why, Wade? Why do you say that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to get into it right now.
Because she drove 45 minutes to come into work every day.
We're gonna get it here.
Day.
Yeah, never late. Laurinaitis was always in a good mood, coming to work, being late every day. She received at one point in time here a $15,000 gift card to Bloomingdale's that was purchased at McMahon's direction and delivered by McMahon's personal assistant to Miss Grant in her office. $15,000? That's not it. We're not done. We got a little more to talk about. We discussed the $75,000 to $200,000 raise. Alternative clinic medical care and medical cosmetic services and products. Basically, he paid for her to get a lot of plastic surgery done. Free of charge, it was paid directly to the doctor. She had clubhouse access tickets to the Belmont Stakes, which that's the horse racing, right? I think. I'm not a horse racing guy.
Yes, definitely.
I think Belmont is horses. WrestleMania private full day transportation and premium tickets. WrestleMania is the WWE version of the Super Bowl. That's their biggest pay-per-view of the year. I think it's in March or April. So coming up here in a few months, it is their biggest pay-per-view of the year. They've now extended it to 2 days. Back in the day, it was usually the match that the whole year had been built up to. So you got to see that whole build up through every pay-per-view of all the run-ins and disqualifications. You finally got to see it at WrestleMania. That was what it was the biggest. Tickets are like crazy for this thing. She gets that. $2,000 Nordstrom gift cards. I've never been a Nordstrom shopper, but I believe you could probably find something in there with a $2,000 gift card. Massive. Yes, that's the Bella Twins. That is the Bella Twins.
Okay. So, and
a massive box of Godiva chocolates, $20,000 in plastic surgery. We covered that one. Pearl diamond necklace from a pearl diamond necklace. Let me clarify.
Are you sure?
A real pearl diamond. I know there's another pearl necklace you can give out.
Because I feel like she probably had several.
Yes, that was also, not to get off topic of the gifts, because we got a lot more. That was also one of the text messages that Vince wanted her to be showered. I guess we'll word this as best as possible. Pearls. He wanted her to have many different pearl necklaces to really get into the tasting of these pearl necklaces which one she thought was the best.
This guy has issues.
Yeah. So the real pearl necklace from somewhere in Greenwich, Connecticut, Betteridge in Greenwich, Connecticut. Blue cashmere knee-length cardigan from Nordstrom's. Burberry cashmere scarf. Blue cashmere scarf. Gray cashmere scarf. Obviously, this broad likes cashmere. Celine sunglasses. Never heard of that, but I probably can't afford it. Cable knit throw blanket. I'm sure. Large bouquet of flowers delivered approximately every other week. Some of the larger items, a 2022 BMW 430 XI, just given to this young lady for all of her troubles. $5,000 gift certificate at the Land Fire Spa. Two private catered chef dinners at McMahon's condo, of course. Got to come over there to get the dinner. Golden diamond paperclip necklace from Betteridge in Greenwich, Connecticut. Not really sure why that would be something that somebody would want, but I guess that's their choice. Another $10,000 Bloomingdale gift card. Assortment of food at a food assortment and display of an antique tea ceremony set from Saudi Arabia. This is just, you know, a handful of stuff. This broad is not walking away empty handed. She's getting compensated for this. I don't classify this as sex trafficking. This is a business deal. In my mind, that's what this is. She's getting paid all of this. Apparently, when all of this comes out, she demands a $3 million payday. Vince makes apparently a $1 million lump sum payment. And this is another thing that doesn't make any sense. He stops paying and doesn't pay her the other $2 million. Now, I know other $2 million. To me, that's a lot of money. Most people, that's a lot of money. To Vince McMahon, that's not a lot of money.
Right.
And she does sign an NDA, which now she's obviously talking about it. So I'm assuming because he didn't make the payment or the arrangement of the NDA, that's how she can talk about it.
I mean, she can talk about it no matter what. She's just now she's opened herself up to a lawsuit. But of course, you know, he also didn't pay, you know, the entire amount of money. So, you know, it's kind of like you're saying, okay, well, it's like signing a house to, it's like signing, let's say you go to a closing and you sign the HUD and you sign the deed and you sign everything. And then they never pay, you never get the money. Like you didn't sell your house. Like it's contingent on both parties performing. So you don't have to worry like, oh my God, I just sold my house and they never gave me the money. That's not what just happened.
Right. So I mean, like some cases, like I remember a guy that got hurt at the company I worked with, they offered him a settlement, but with that settlement, he had to sign a non-DA or NDA.
Right.
He couldn't talk to anybody about it. So I'm assuming that's what this was. He wanted to keep this stuff quiet, I guess, because he broke it. She can then talk about it, but you know, it's just really odd that all this went on through all this time and now it's coming out. Now it's hitting the airwaves. Everybody is, of course, painting Vince as this monstrous bad guy. But these text messages weren't even supposed to see the light of day. They were private. I don't think my text message log is quite as graphic as that. But I mean, if you think anybody in the world, if you've just seen their private text messages between someone that they were having an affair with, it's not like these two were married. That's going to be a worse conversation if you're just dating and seeing each other. That's when it's really X-rated. They weren't even supposed to be public. I'm not going to vilify Vince for having a very weird sex life. I'm not going to be involved in it either, especially with him going number two. But I can't vilify the man for having an interesting sex life. I can't even blame her for going along with it and getting paid for it. What I do blame her for is coming out and trying to say the man was sex trafficking her, which I think is total BS. What do you think, Matt Cox?
Well, I mean, were there any, look, since he's not afraid to express himself in a text message,
right?
Did he ever threaten her in the text messages?
If so, those were not released. Pretty much every text that was released was something along the lines of them engaging in some sort of fantasy activity, or planning something to do with her and another individual, which seemingly she was okay with. One of the text messages was, have you talked with John or have you scheduled with John? Apparently, I guess it done something for Vince. He got some sort of satisfaction that even if he wasn't involved, to know that John handled business, John Laurinaitis, I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
To know that John handled business, that done something for him. So he wanted to make sure that got handled. That was some sort of gratification for him.
I don't get it, but okay.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you hear about it a lot. These people in these high power positions that are so used to asserting authority on people, and people are intimidated by Vince. I think if I was a wrestler, I'd damn sure be intimidated by Vince. That demeanor, the way he talks, and I don't know. It just really kind of, the whole story doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Typically, those guys like to be the one to have that done to. Those are the guys that like to be submissive and like to have, you know, be beat on and shit, because they do the opposite to everyone else. Not necessarily like that, but I'm saying they're the strong boss. They have to uphold this. So in their private life, they like to be victimized to kind of
right.
Beat things out.
Yeah.
I can see him doing it either way. I can still see him doing all this. This definitely sounds like Vince. But I just don't see the sex trafficking thing really. And That's some.
No,
that's
I don't see it. I don't see it as being sex trafficking. Definitely not.
And with these text messages, you don't do her any help with this. These text messages that are leaked, which I'm assuming come from her phone, they don't show her as someone that's not willing in this. Like at no point in time is she saying, hey, I want to stop this. You know, you guys are doing this. I feel this way. The only really negative thing against it was, hey, this is going to throw me out of my game for work this week.
Right.
And this is just, that's these territories now that when you get into it, where when the, with the Me Too, and I do believe that, listen, Harvey Weinstein, piece of shit. I think he done everything that they accused him of. He used his power in Hollywood to make sure these women never worked again. And I'm not saying that what he did is okay by any means when I make this statement. I don't want people to think that. But I understand why an actress would submit to that, because he did have the power to possibly never get them casted in a movie. So if you're an actress, I'm not going to say you have to, but if this guy, you know, puts the word out that you're blackballed, you could possibly never work again.
Or he also could give you the fast track.
Yes, exactly. And that's like, allegedly what happened.
Right.
But with Vince, like, what are you going to do? Blackball me from another wrestling organization? At least at the time, I don't even think AEW was out there. It's the only other show in town.
Well, this was late too. This is recent. This is only a few years ago.
Yeah. So there's only one other wrestling organization out there other than the WWE is AEW, which is All Elite Wrestling, owned by the Khans, who own the Jaguars down in Florida, where you're at. You know, Tony Khan, you ever heard of the,
I've heard the name.
So he owns the Jaguars. I think Shad Khan is the father. He's got a really distinctive looking mustache. His son is the one that's behind AEW. I think I have that right. But I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? If you piss Vince off to the point where you just leave, you said, I've had it, I'm not coming back. What's he going to do? Blackball you from one other wrestling organization?
Well, I mean, she honestly, the job, I mean, obviously she wasn't qualified for the $75,000 a year job.
Well, it depends
on the entry level. Look, you're not hiring secretaries at $75,000. I mean, I don't know what she hadn't worked in years. She's taking care of her parents, but let's assume she was. That's a hell of a jump. I mean, was she just that amazing of an individual that she, like, what's her pedigree? You know, does she have a business degree? Does she have a high school diploma? Does she, you know?
Allegedly, Vince had a soft spot for the story and wanted to help rescue her, so to speak.
Wow. I mean, that's.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, $75,000, basically with no previous experience in and around the wrestling business, you're looking more than envelopes in office, even if you're in a secretarial spot.
Yeah.
And I think this was known. This had to be known by the people in the business for her moving up to that title that she had, which I think was like vice president or of operations. I mean, she was high.
That sounds appropriate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Operate. That's
she was operating. All right. And I don't know. It's one of these things that where we have to be careful about believing something automatically, you know, when it comes out, there's always two sides to every story. God knows with my past and my situation, I preach that, you know, you can't always believe what's printed and what's out there. And that's the weird thing to me is I encourage you to maybe check out these text messages. They're out there. I think I have them. I can send them to you. They don't do this woman any favors of saying that she was against this. And that's my whole stamp is how are you going to claim that you were done all this against your will, yet no text messages say that, unless they're holding different conversations for court and they just put out these really bad ones to paint Vince in a bad light.
Sounds like, I mean, obviously she's just trying to embarrass him and hoping to, you know, get a payday, but
she's embarrassing herself too at the same time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you could say a lot for something. For a few, if she thinks, hey, I could get $5 million out of this, I may end up getting $5 million out of this. You can be embarrassed.
That's my thing. Is if I got Vince McMahon over a barrel, even $3 million is loaf for that. I mean, that's like
something. But she probably also knows what's written in those text messages.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she was not. She was clearly a willing participant. Hey, okay, I'll meet you there. It's like, okay, well, you live in a you live like. or does she still live in the same condo building? I don't know, but
I don't know about now, but I mean, that's my thing. If she still lived there, I mean, and I don't know any of this to be fact. So I don't want anybody to bash me in the comments. Lord knows you got some creepers in your comments, by God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if she was left this house. If she was, I would assume that maybe it was paid off if both of her parents died. I don't know the circumstances, if they died together or within a few months apart. I'm not sure of all that. But I'm assuming this broad is not on the street with a cup. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She's got something put back somewhere. And, you know, to me, I think this whole thing is a very twisted sexual fantasy that is nothing more than a business transaction. I don't see sex trafficking here by any means at all. That's not what I see. And basically, Vince was... Only thing you really say he did wrong was adultery, but I think him and Linda have an understanding. It's reported he's always had affairs. When he interviewed with Playboy, he detailed affairs that he had had on Linda. You know, that's public knowledge. And I think you can probably tell at some point in time this happened in the past. I don't necessarily know with talent, though. I think when you start messing with the talent, that would be really easy for something to leak out and you could really cause a problem. I think Vince is smart enough to know, I guess that old phrase of you don't shit where you eat.
Right.
But as far as someone in the secretary office, now that's another story. That's, you know, I don't know. Where are you landing on all this? What do you think?
I mean, I think she saw an opportunity to get some money. She thought she was going to get $3 or $4 million and he stopped the payments and she got upset about it. Somebody in the comment section of the last video said that he stopped the payments because he heard that she was going to go public. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, you know, but for whatever reason, he stopped paying and she thought, hey, I got a void contract here. I got a void agreement. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to, you know, embarrass this guy and maybe he'll follow through or maybe he'll offer me even more money. Maybe she went to an attorney and the attorney said, listen, this will be great. He's already started paying. So essentially he's already kind of admitted guilt, you know, we can make it look as bad as possible and maybe we'll get twice as much. So
yeah, I would hope to be there asking for more, because I'll be honest with you. I don't know if 2 million is worth the world knowing that I did all these things, that Vince McMahon in his late 70s did all these to me. I did it with his personal trainer, his number two, his VP of the company, and he shit on my head. That's a lot. Don't get me wrong. I got to crunch the numbers, but 2 million for the entire world to know that all this happened. That's
maybe she'll end up getting 4 or 5 or 6 or listen, I mean, $6 million.
All right. So is that the number? Is that your number?
6 million?
6 million. I could
pay off my restitution.
$6 million and everybody knows.
I'll tell you right now, the government would let Vince McMahon shit on me for $6 million so they can get their money. We'll tie cock down, Mr. McMahon. That's Mr. McMahon.
Mr. McMahon, as they call him. And that's everybody knowing. $6 million is your number.
I didn't say that.
I'm asking.
I don't know. What's your number?
Public or non-public? $2 million non-public, public. Which I guess that kind of defeats the purpose of talking about it. But 2 million and nobody knows. I might have to request I lay on my back. That way nothing goes in the mouth.
Oh, all right. What about public? Everybody knows.
No. Oh boy. I'm never going to work again. Well, that too. You're going to have to come like, I'm going to need 25 and a half.
Do you know what people are going to be saying in the comment section? There are going to be people in the comment section saying, man, 50 grand, you can shit on me.
Oh, I'm sure.
What are you talking about?
But it's Vince McMahon and he's 80 and you got to picture everything else that's going to be around.
What does he look like now? What does Vince McMahon look like at 80?
Now, ever since he left and then came back. Because see, when all this stuff started, when all these allegations of hush money started, he resigned from the company. Actually, his daughter resigned first. Stephanie McMahon, she was up there high in ranking with her husband, Triple H. When all the allegations started, she resigned. Vince then resigns when he realizes it's starting to get some eyeballs on this situation. Vince resigns. Stephanie comes back. Vince then agrees to sell WWE to Endeavor, who is the same people that own UFC. I think their brand now is called TKO or something like that. That's their stock, is TKO. But what Vince did here, and this is really brilliant, he still owned the majority share of WWE, even though he didn't have that title. So when this deal come through for it to go to Fox, Vince wasn't going to sign unless after the sale of the WWE went through, which I'm not sure the number on that sale, but it was sold to WWE. He was still the majority shareholder. He was not going to sign that unless they let him come back onto the board and hold a position under the TKO brand. So he essentially held it hostage, even though he sold it, which was brilliant.
Say something, by the way.
What?
No, I hear you. I'm looking for a recent picture of Vince McMahon.
Whichever one's recent, he's going to have a very thin mustache.
Is he?
Okay. Yeah, like pencil thin. And he never had a mustache in his years.
That's creepy. Mustaches are creepy. No offense. Yours looks good.
Well, mustache, maybe. I got the whole beard.
You get the whole thing. Yeah, here he is. Okay. I don't know. Is that it?
That's it.
I'm 70 something years old.
Like the caption up there should be, I just shit my pants.
Stop. Jeez.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He didn't
do
that. He did it on a secretary. I apologize. There he is.
Yeah.
And one of the funny thing is, like, after all this happened, you seen a picture of him walking with a cane. Why is it that when all these guys get these allegations against them, suddenly they can't fucking walk, or they're blind?
Suddenly they become feeble and sick and barely, just an old man.
Bill Cosby couldn't see a damn thing. He went blind after his allegations come out. Harvey Weinstein was literally getting in everything he could in New York. Then all of a sudden he's got to have a cane and a wheelchair and everything else to get him to the courtroom. And Vince had a cane walking. There was a picture of him with the Undertaker walking. It's like, that's their, I guess, a scapegoat or plea to the judge. I guess that you know.
So you want to hear something funny?
Sure.
My wife just came over and put this down and gave me a bottle of water. And
my word.
Stood here with her hands on her hips. I mean, what does that mean? I'm prepared.
It means you're going to have a busy couple of days. I know which one that one is, pal. That's going to, what's today? Wednesday? Yeah, you're going to be, I don't need to call you until Saturday. You're going to have a busy couple of days. Is that the daily dose, my guy?
That's what we're down to.
Is that the daily dose?
I'm on my way home. Take a pill.
Yeah.
What's going on? I promise you, there's no $2 million in my future.
No,
there's no, I don't get to sue. I just do my duty.
Do those give you a headache on day two?
It's not bad. It's Cialis.
Yeah, I know. Cialis. That's a 3-day one. I know that pill, pal. I know it very well.
No, I don't get a headache.
They give me an extremely bad headache on day number two.
Really?
Yes.
What milligram?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like 5 or 10 or something like that. I don't know.
There's even some things that people take now, and I don't know. Vince has got to be on something to be able to.
Are you serious? 70 something years old? Of course.
Yeah, he's got to be taking the Cialis daily or whatever. This should
doubling up.
You should be getting him as a sponsor right now with that little bit you just did too, by the way. That's something you can look into. You ever heard of that? It's called Honey.
Bro, what choice do I have? She's 18, Honey. She's 18 years younger than me.
Yeah, you gotta, that's a tall task. You gotta
keep, you know, but Honey. Have I heard of something called Honey?
It's VIP Honey. It's literally a pack of honey that looks like your average pack of ketchup or condiment pack from the grocery store, but it's got honey in it. And it's all the ingredients that's in Cialis. It's like the, I don't know those medical words, but like Tadalafil or whatever. It's whatever does the magic at down.
Right. There.
It's in the honey. So essentially it's a way to get the same thing without having to get a prescription for Cialis.
Okay.
Kind of like you do Blue Chew. You ever heard of Blue Chew?
No. And there's something called, isn't there Hims or something like that?
Or Hims. It's kind of the same thing.
Is the honey prescription?
Mm-mm. No, you can buy that anywhere.
Really?
I bought a box of it like a couple years ago. To get a decent price, you needed to buy a lot. So I bought like 5 boxes. There's 25 to a box. And once I started telling people about what they did, I was selling them for like $5 a pack. And I sold like 2.5 boxes. Then I kept the other ones. But it does the same thing as Cialis. It's just without the prescription. That's what the 4 Hems is. That's what the Blue Chew is. It's the same thing, just you're not getting it prescribed by a doctor. It does the same thing. It lasts for about 3 days. You don't need a lot of help like that. It's not going to be all the time, every day, 360, you know, 24/7. But, you know, the wind blows right. You're good to go. You're ready to rock and roll.
You hear the peanut gallery?
What?
All the, he's having this conversation. She's having more of a conversation with you than I am.
What did she say?
She's all kind. She's like, right? Oh, really? Oh, huh?
You gotta have a box of honey on your table, sir. VIP golden honey. Google it. VIP golden honey. I wonder if it's legal to sell. I could get it and sell it on the show.
Listen, I knew a guy that was selling here's the thing. He basically marketed it as a natural alternative to Viagra.
Right.
But it was Viagra. Like he was just ordering he had herbs and all some kind of stuff in a pill. It looked like a big herb pill or something, but it was actually Viagra. And he just ordered all the stuff from China and mixed it all up in the pill. I was like, what are you doing? Like,
that's kind of what this is. This is,
I know, but I was like, you can't do that. And he was like, yeah, I know. And obviously I know that. That's why we're talking in prison.
One of the boxes, I had a guy that owned a convenience store in a small town. I'm not going to say his name. I gave it to him. I'm like, here, I want this much for the box. You could probably sell it for this. You make a few bucks. I make a few bucks. Granted, I didn't need 100 packets of this shit. I bought 5 boxes, 25 packs a box. So I had to sell some of them. He apparently tried one and liked it. And he was like, oh yeah, these are so great, man. And you know, a couple months go by and I never heard from him. And I said, hey, did you ever sell all that stuff? Oh yeah, yeah. And I knew his wife and everything else. And one day I was over there, I'm like, did you ever sell this shit or not? She even knew that I had given it to him. And he was like, he finally had told her, he's like, yeah, he told me to tell you that, you know, they didn't work. I'm like, what do you mean they didn't work? He's like, he said that they didn't work. I'm like, well, where are they at? I know they work for me. You know, right. He told me they work great. He's like, well, I don't know where they're at, but he said he ate them all. None of them worked. And I'm like, ate them all. And then that started like a whole big argument with them too. But I'm like, yeah, if one didn't work, why are you going to eat the other 20?
Right.
Come on now, pal. You know, you can just buy a pack of honey, and I still wanted my money for them. And I'm like, you can buy honey a whole lot cheaper at the grocery store. You're getting something off of this, but I don't know. This is interesting. This is a good Viagra or Cialis episode to sponsor, because you know Vince and all those guys. John Laurinaitis was old, like he had to have something that, you know, to keep him up,
right?
Sure, unless they just got a hell of bad stamina. I don't know.
I don't think anybody after a certain age has the wherewithal to always be ready to go.
Yeah. And Vince is that guy. I mean, like his training regimen is he trains at like, you know, 3 and 4 in the morning and and all of the, like, he's a very dead. I mean, even now, like, he's probably cut up more than, you know, your average guy that's in decent shape, which I think a lot of that is steroids.
Yeah.
You know, he was on trial for steroids back in the late 2000s. He almost went to jail. Like, he took the government to trial and beat it, but he had made plans that it had, he went to jail, like how his wife was going to continue to run the company and everything else. I mean, Vince is he's an interesting cat, and allegedly Netflix was doing like a full blown documentary on him and like the way he basically took over wrestling, bought out his competition and everything. I don't know what that does now with this.
Oh, I'm sure they
hope it comes out.
I'll bet you they walk away from it.
You think?
Or maybe they, it depends on how far they were into it. They might complete it and then just kind of put at the end, kind of like a, make a note that, hey, by the way, towards the end of his career, you know, it ended in disgrace, or, you know, throw a little blip up there. Did you see how they ended Griselda Blanco?
No, I've not started watching that yet.
Yeah, they ended it weekly. You know, it was weak. It was a weak ending.
Isn't Vergara getting a lot of pushback for that role?
Who Sophia
Vergara's who've done it, right?
Oh, I thought she did great.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't want to get any spoilers, so I haven't read the whole thing, but I guess apparently she got some flack from some fans for something. It could have been just the fact that she did that role. I didn't read into it, but I don't know.
I think, you know, they're going to exaggerate some stuff, but right. There's whole sections that they just completely missed. Like, you know, like they removed certain parts. First of all, they made her seem, you know, very almost Tony Montana like.
Well, I mean, I've heard it. She was a tough broad. She would give out orders for murders and everything else. I don't know if you've seen the first Cocaine Cowboys.
Yeah.
But that guy that was basically her trigger man. I mean, he would tell the orders that she give. They were pretty ruthless.
Yeah. I mean, he talks about like this, some of the stuff that happens that he talks about in Cocaine Cowboys. You know, they show a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you've seen Cocaine Cowboys, as things are happening, you're like, oh, wow, this is when, you know, this is when so-and-so, this little kid, you know, gets killed, or, hey, this is when, oh man, this is messed up, or there's lots of little things, but it feels out of sequence. And then when they end it, you know, that like she fell in love with some guy who was in prison.
Is that true? Is that in the series?
No, it's not in the series. That's what I'm saying. Like, they removed this whole section.
I don't know if that's true, man. Like, I'm a big Cocaine Cowboys fan. That whole season, or not season two, but episode two, or whatever you want to call it, the part two, that whole thing looked fabricated. It looked like those pictures were like superimposed. Why would she want a guy in prison?
I don't know, but I mean, there's tons of photos. I don't think anybody's disputing it, but you, really? But it's completely not there. It's not in the, they don't talk about it at all. Huh?
There'd be a reason for that.
I mean, maybe, but yeah, they don't talk. There's little things but you know, it's super. And then they don't show her final kind of demise. They never even show it. They fade out where she's on a beach, and it's like, what? Like,
didn't she? You know, she got shot, right?
Oh, in the end?
Yeah. She gets, well, in real life, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She gets, yeah. They never showed that. She's like on a beach, kind of like, you know, it's very odd. It's a very odd ending. It's, you know, I don't know if it's supposed to be poignant or something, but.
I'd say, Mary, are they planning on a comeback or a finish off or something?
No, because they throw up in the script. They show up a narration where they talk about her getting gunned down.
Was Pablo in it at all?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we ever see Pablo Escobar. I could be wrong. I mean, I could be wrong because I watched it. I watched probably 40 or 50%. Plus, keep in mind, it's all. No, well, 85% of it is not dubbed. What do you call it? Where they put up
subtitles.
The subtitles. Thank you. It's subtitled. Like, I'm like, what happened? What? I'm asking him, I didn't see that. And plus, we usually do it. We usually watch it when we were laying in bed. So, you know, 20 minutes in, I'm like, what happened?
Away. I can't
Who's
read.
Who's she killing?
Yeah. I mean, I got 20 something years welding, Bo, for the most part. I'm pretty close to being legally blind. I can't see. Right. That's my excuse to buy huge ass televisions. And it's true. Just so I can actually see. I couldn't read subtitles. I don't know if I can get through it with that. You know, but I would think something like if I'm Netflix and I'm doing that, this controversy would almost make people want to watch this documentary. I'm talking about. I'm talking about Vince, the one with Vince, would make people want to watch it. Because I want to stress these are all alleged charges. He hasn't been found guilty of nothing. That's not to say he won't be. So as of right now.
Right. You also have to think, how do they pitch this? Like when they pitched it to Netflix, the production company, and they said, look, we've got like Vince McMahon, he's going to be involved in the whole thing. He's going to be interviewed. We've already talked to him. This person's being interviewed. And then let's say they're halfway done and suddenly he's like, I'm not going to be interviewed anymore. I've got this whole crisis thing going on. No, forget this. And so you don't know what's happened. Where do they have to go back to Netflix and say, look, this is what's going on. So we can finish it, but we obviously aren't going to be able to move forward in the same direction. We're going to have to pivot. And maybe Netflix says, well, you're only halfway done. You've still got money left, right? Give us some money back. Let's just cut our losses. Or maybe they said, you know what? Run with it. You know, do it. Look into this other stuff. Get the people that are involved with the other stuff. Like, interview them. Like, this is a great segue into this new thing where you were halfway done. You know, and they don't always necessarily shoot in order. So you don't know what they had shot and what they didn't. Like, it could be like, hey, this is a complete mess. There's nothing we can do with this.
Do you prefer things like that when it jumps from like one period of time to current and you have to bounce back and forth?
I mean, if it's done well, I don't mind.
Yeah. Sometimes that aggravates me a little bit. If it's gotta be done very well for me to follow.
Yeah.
Like if I get lost about where I'm at and what time period it's in, it's hard for me to keep track.
Right.
What have you ever been approached from anybody from Netflix for your story?
So the way it works is like Netflix never approaches you. Netflix doesn't have a production company. So their smaller production companies approach you and they'll say, hey, are you interested in doing one? You go say yes. Then they make a sizzle reel. Then they go to Netflix and say, hey, we've got this guy. It's an amazing story. They pitch it. They show the sizzle reel. And if Netflix goes, wow, this is amazing, how much do you want? Then they say, hey, we want $2 million or we need $3 million and this and this. And they negotiate. I've had that happen. You know, it's just never gone anywhere. I've never gotten to the part where we actually get to Netflix.
Right.
What I've gotten to is the closest I ever was Netflix UK was pitched a documentary on me. You know, and they didn't pick it up.
Really?
Like, I don't know. You know what, you know, if everybody who watches my stuff is always like, just like, you've got to be kidding me. That's not possible. Yeah, it is possible. Like, they didn't pick it up and maybe, you know, and the problem is the market's so fickle. There are some times when they're like, hey, we only want standalone documentaries. Like, it's got to be 2-hour documentary. That's it. And then other times somebody will go and they'll say, hey, we've got a standalone documentary. It's going to be 2 hours. And they go, we're only buying multi-part documentaries now.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay. Well, this guy doesn't have a 6-hour documentary in him. It could at most be 2 1-hours, maybe 2 1.5 hours. They're like, nope, we're not interested. Like, it's so, or they say, hey, no, we're only doing them when they have reenactments, or we only do them, or, you know, it's like, what? Like, it's so fucked up.
I think you could cover any of that, though. You have a 6-hour series in you, pal.
I feel you. I feel you. It's just the right company has not. Like, I just got connected with a guy, like a manager that's now going to start pitching and he wants to pitch it as a series to someone like Netflix. I forget who, you know, he's got like, he's tied in with 4 or 5 of them, and he's like, look, like, I wouldn't even be involved. Like, it'd be somebody would play me. And it would be a multi-part series, maybe kind of like a Griselda Blanco. Maybe it's just an ongoing series like Orange is the New Black, where you, after the second season, like, it's over. Like, my story's run out. And then they built these characters, and then they say, okay, now let's just run with it.
Yeah. I don't know. So you got your career doing fraud, then you have prison. Then, I mean, You know, you've got a lot of story there to break down if they want to. Who plays Matt Cox?
Oh, it could be. I feel like it could be hold multiple seasons, but I don't know. You know, there's not a lot of short actors. We need somebody like he can't be taller than 5'6", 5'7". No, I'm just joking. Look, did you see like they had Leonardo DiCaprio play fucking Jordan Belfort. They, yeah. Obviously, you can do anything. They'll have some guy play me who's 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Very disappointing, but I'd be disappointed.
I don't. Have you ever acted?
No.
I think you would just. You're one of those guys.
I was a young man when this happened. I've had people say, you should play yourself. Bro, I was young. I was 30 fucking, or my early, late 20s, early 30s. I'm an old man.
You don't look old.
I'm an old man.
Well, I mean, you just popped a Cialis. So yeah, you're up there, but you don't. I'm just saying, you don't appear like you're going to sit down and say, let me tell you what I did 40 years ago, pal, or 35.
I remember the first time I brought a file into my manager's office and she pulled out the white out and she shook it. Like I tell that, you know, it's true, but I mean, I do feel like an old man when I tell it now, because it's like, I've told it so many times. I feel like my dad used to talk about how my mom's father would tell the same stories over and everybody would leave. The whole family would stand up and leave. And he's like, I mean, I'd heard the story twice. They'd heard it 100 times. So I'd have to sit there and be like, okay, right. That's how I feel like when I'm being interviewed. And I start to tell the story. I'm thinking, I know you've seen one of these videos. You've heard this at least 3 times, but you're going to sit there. And it's polite. It's nice. But I do feel like the old man that.
I don't know. I think you still get discovered by new people. Other than the one guy at work that I know knows who you are, and he got a kick out of that picture of your recent thumbnail, by the way. I walked in there and showed it to him. He got a kick out of that. But I tell people all the time that it never your story, and they've never heard of you. I'll share the TikToks I think you have put out that you've done with Lex, and they go, oh, wow, that dude done this and that. And other, I'm like, yeah, no, you talk to him? And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's like, what's he like? And I'm like, well, he keeps asking for my credit card number. I don't know why. I haven't given it to him.
I already have your credit card number. Yeah, good times.
So what do you think? We'll wrap this up, because by my calculations that pill should be kicking in and the microphone is going to just start coming up like this.
You want to hear something funny? One time we were visiting visiting someone, a family member of Jess's, and so we're in the hotel, right? We go out, you know, she spends the day with them, and then we go out that night and we go eat like whatever, sushi, whatever. So we eat at a restaurant, and then we come back, and I remember I was like, God, I am so full. And I lay down on the bed and Jess goes, and I go, God, I'm so full. And she goes, yeah, well, you better get over that. You got about 5 minutes. I go, what the hell? And she goes, yeah, I'm just letting you know. She said, you better do whatever you got to do. She said, because I'm going to be back here. She said, I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to be back here in about 5 or 10 minutes. And then she walks out like out of the shower, turns on some country music on a radio, throws it on the bed. And she goes, you feeling better? Oh, my God. What the hell? It's pushy.
I mean, you got to respect that. It's not Vince McMahon pushy, but I mean, you know. No,
that's going to be a thing. Hey, you're getting Vince McMahon pushy.
Yeah, you're getting a little McMahon on me. You're getting Vincey on me. Vincey, that's it. We're going to.
And she didn't pull anything out of the suitcase like, oh my God, that's deep chocolate.
Let me introduce you to the Hulkster. In all seriousness, before we get out of here, what do you think happens? I know there's a lot more to be said and found with the case, but as of right now, I think this thing gets settled out of court. I don't think it ever gets a resolution.
You don't want to go through that. And what she's going to take very little money, not very little. I mean, it's a ton of money, but let's face it. She's, you know, the problem with going to court is it could go either way.
Yeah.
You know, like they're going to act like, oh, we've got a case and everything hasn't come out and you don't know what else I've got. And they're going to say all that. But during discovery or before discovery or whatever that process is, you know, at some point they're going to say, look, let's get together and talk. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want you to drag my wife through the mud and all these people and have to, and think about it. We'll put everybody on the stand. We'll drag all kinds of like people are going to be pushing him to like, just give this chick 5 or 6 million, just get rid of her, you know?
And his lawyer, I'm not sure if you ever heard of his guy by the name of Jerry McDivitt. He is a very, very good lawyer. He brought Vince through the steroid trial, many, many, many different allegations through a lot of different things. One of the guys that you actually went on his show, Lee Cole, remember Lee Cole?
Yeah.
So his brother years ago was in what was called the Ring Boy scandal, which was Pat Patterson. I want to say it was Terry Garvin, if I'm not mistaken. Don't kill me in the comments. It was one of the Garvins. They would, when they were going to the territories that I was talking about, they would have kids in certain territories that would put up the ring and then go back to their houses for other activities. And allegedly, you know, his brother, this happened to his brother. It was brought up on the Phil Donahue show. Phil Donahue done a full blown episode about it. They even accused Lee of trying to get some money from the WWE. It ultimately led to his brother, taking his own life. But right. So this whole situation with scandals and allegations of that is nothing new. It's
dark, dark industry.
Yeah, very. I mean, you look at all the wrestlers that go way, way, way too early. And then things that they do, Chris Benoit, you know, it's crazy that these guys now that I watched growing up look like larger than life characters. And most of them can't even walk now if they're still alive. Like Hulk is like one of the only ones that's still kicking.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and look at him. He's been through scandal. I mean, that thing with Bubba, what's like, you know, so the way these guys' minds work are just, it's like they're all deviants, you know? It's like,
yeah, I mean, what happened with him and Bubba's not too far off of what's going on with Vince here. I mean, you know, and that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was at Bubba's request that he wanted to watch the Hulkster come in there and do that with his old lady.
Yeah, I think what happened was, because I got it from Bubba, was that Bubba was leaving and Hulk was staying at his house while he was going through a divorce. And Bubba kind of said that he and his wife had an open marriage.
Right.
And basically Hulk had said, man, I'm so stressed out about everything. I need to get laid. And Bubba was leaving and he said, oh, well, why don't you take Terry in there and bang her, you know, or have at it, you know? And she looks over at him and she's like, you know, shrugs it off like, yeah, I'm okay with it. And he's like, yeah, I'm leaving. So, you know, go ahead, do what you got to do. And he leaves. Then he finds out later, he realizes, oh, the cameras were on. Right. You didn't know the moment that you said that the cameras were on, you know, and then one of his assistant grabs the camera. They watch the video a couple times and then he tells them, oh, get rid of it. Oh, yeah, you just get rid of that. Stop. So and then his guy goes around trying to sell it. But yeah, it's the same kind of, like, first of all, if we're getting a divorce or have an open marriage or whatever it is, like, Hulk Hogan's not fucking my girl, bro. I can't follow that up. The guy's 6 foot fucking eight. Bubba's 5 foot six and 400 pounds. I'm sorry. No.
That's a hell of a Southern hospitality you got. Just throwing your wife around all willy nilly.
My God. She didn't sue.
How can you come back from that? How can you come back and follow up the Hulkster?
Yeah.
Man, he got paid, man, from Gawker.
My God.
Got that. What was $100 million?
It was like $100 million. And then he turned around and sued and got another like $80 million or $60 million from like Cox Media, who had actually run the video, who they were in charge of the internet connection or something that ran the video. Like, poor Cox Media. They didn't know what was happening.
Jesus.
Yeah, he got a ton. Now, of course, I don't think Gawker Media ever was able to pay very much. If anything, he basically bankrupted him. But I'm sure in the end, what does it matter? If you got 5 million or 10 million or 20 million, what does it matter? That's a ton of money. And it's not like he was broke anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he was in great financial position just because his wife, I think, took a lot of what he had. And he made like, I don't want to say bad.
It's kind of a double entendre there. It took a lot of what he had. Oh, yeah. So go ahead.
I don't know if he made some of the best, when I say financial decisions, I mean like endeavors. Like I remember there was a pasta chain that he opened up called Hulkamania Pasta or something like that.
You mean Hulk Hogan? Are you telling me that professional wrestlers don't make sound financial decisions? Next thing you're going to tell me is that football players don't make, or lottery winners aren't keeping all that money.
Well, no. So I'll put it like this. His manager that would get him to back products showed him two products. One of them was a blender and the other one was a little grill that the fat would drain off of. His manager also managed George Foreman. Hulk Hogan thought, who the hell would want a little grill if a man's cooking on a grill in the backyard? Give me that blender, brother. And George Foreman took the grill and the rest is history.
Wow.
So that's what I mean. I know you can't, hindsight being 2020, he's going off what he thinks. He can't really blame him for that. You don't know what's going to hit and catch fire. But he did have, I think, a chain that he tried to start, Hulkamania Pasta, that didn't go over to. And I'm a pasta guy. I love some Italian food, but I don't. Hulkamania Pasta just didn't hit home. So he's lost some money here and there with investments. As a kid, I loved all of his movies. As an adult, they're horrible. They're just very, very not good. I can't give a polite word to how bad they are. But he made money back in the day because, I mean, all this. I had a lunchbox with Hulk Hogan on it as a kid. I remember vividly my first lunchbox I ever carried to school had Hulk Hogan on it. Wow. But when his wife took a lot of that money, I don't think he was doing well. I think he had to pay a lot to get his son out of the trouble he was in. You know, he had that kid paralyzed.
Right.
It was in his car. And then he recently got busted for DUI again about a month ago.
Mm.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan like shows up to the scene after they've already got Nick in jail and all of that. It's on YouTube. I watched the whole thing the other day and I think he was maybe trying to hope they were going to let him go, but they weren't going to let him go. And Nick, I don't know. Nick could face some time for that. That the mother of the son that was paralyzed immediately come out and was like, you know, what are they going to do? Keep letting him do it till he kills somebody. And
right.
I mean, she's got a point.
Right.
But
you got to go to jail. Listen, sometimes jail is what jail is. That's what fixes you. Yeah. Sometimes that's what makes you say, oh, wow, I got to straighten up. I can't. I'm going to end up in here for a long time. If I kill somebody, I may get manslaughter. I'll end up doing 10 years in here, you know, in a Florida, in a state prison in Florida. Hell, that's ridiculous. You don't want to do that. They don't have air conditioning.
And Hulk's got him a young one. Sky. I think, I don't know her full name. He just calls her Sky. I
believe you keep up with this stuff.
Well, I went to Hogan's bar when I went down there to do your show. When I did your show, and then I went into Clearwater where Danny's show was, they have Hogan's Hangout.
Yeah.
This is a restaurant down there. I go in there and it's on a Friday night. Nick Hogan is DJing. I didn't really know anybody around there other than you know, or I didn't really know you. I just did your show. So I'm like, oh, I'll hang out here and see Nick. Maybe Hulk will come through. Sure enough, later on that night, the Hulkster showed up and he had this blonde, this much younger blonde, much younger than he is, in there. And, you know, he obviously had security. You couldn't really get near him. He did come in the bathroom as I was coming out. And he's like, even though he's a lot shorter now, he's still a big son of a bitch. Like, he's big.
Hello, brother.
Yeah. Oh, he did. That's what he said. When I come out, like, I opened the door, it went out, and oh, excuse me, brother. And I'm just like.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, when he came in to the gym, it was like 1991.
Oh, he's roided out then, buddy.
Massive. He'd walk in, and it was like, God almighty, this guy is huge. He'd walk in and, Brian here. How you doing, brother? Good. I was like, oh, my God. Hey, bro. I said, I'll get him. Hold on.
Can you imagine what him and Vince used to do back in the day in their heyday? them two, like those two personalities, Vince and Hulk Hogan. Vince, you're done over there, brother. Send her my way, brother. God damn it, you did it again.
Clean her off, for God's sake.
Yeah, clean her off, brother. Get her about off. That. The line with Hogan is he always had creative control in his contract. So if anybody ever said anything he didn't like or didn't want to do, whether it's like, Hogan, you need to lose this week, the line is he would be like, that doesn't work for me, brother. So I can say, Vince did the Vince. That doesn't work for me, brother. I gotta
go down.
I gotta go first from now on. That doesn't work for me.
Break out the garden hose. Oh my God.
You got work to do, pal. You got work to do. Consensual work to do. None of these shenanigans going on like Vince.
All right.
That'll do it.
Hey, I really appreciate you guys watching. Thank you very much to Hollywood Wade for breaking down the Vince McMahon issues, lawsuit, whatever's going on. What would we say? Scandal. The Vince McMahon scandal. And so I appreciate you guys watching. Do me a favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell so you get notified of videos just like this. Also, please leave me a comment in the comment section. I'm sure that we made some major mistakes during this, and I'm sure you guys want to correct them, because there's always somebody in the comment section that wants to tell me what an idiot I am and how I don't know what I'm doing and how I wasn't paying attention and yell at me because I looked at my cell phone or something, whatever. But listen, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I did a credit course. We're going to leave the link in the description also. And I really appreciate you guys watching. Please consider joining my Patreon. See ya.